Hello and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. This is Rod Stuckey. Here with me is EVBIDS co-founder and Tesla Tips and Tricks administrator, Tori Hornsby. Tori, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. I know that we've been staying busy. The Tesla Tips and Tricks Facebook group now has over 280,000 members and is continuing to grow. And with over 250 posts per week, there's a lot of content there. And so in this podcast, we're going to take and curate some of the most interesting posts from the group this past week and do some discussion, go through some of those comments, including when will Grok be in your Tesla? There's a lot of talk about the XAI feature coming to your Tesla. So that's exciting. Are FSD alerts too obnoxious? That's gotten a lot of traction. How to know if FSD lifetime will be included when buying a pre-owned Tesla? And then autopilot not maintaining the speed you set is a big topic of controversy or discussion. And does chill mode save battery usage? So before we jump into those topics, for those of you who may be unfamiliar, Tori, tell us a little bit more about the T3 community.
Yeah. So we are the largest Tesla tips oriented community in the world with over 280,000 members. Our goal is to provide real world tips and really just make owning a Tesla that much more enjoyable for Tesla owners. We do have a large part of our group who are prospective Tesla owners who are checking things out and seeing if it's something that they would like. We enjoy being a source for prospective Tesla owners as well. And man, you hit the nail on the head with 280,000 members. There's a lot of posts. There's a lot of, you know, sometimes there's repetitive posts where people are new and they're asking a question that's been asked a lot. And, you know, some posts are more engaging than others. And so as you said, the goal of this podcast is for us to let people who don't want to, you know, scour through hundreds and hundreds or thousands and thousands of posts to know what was hot for the week.
Yeah. And that's a great segue into this first post we're going to pull up here. And for those of you that are listening and can't watch on the screen, this says there is a rumor that Grok will be in your Tesla in the next month. So take us through this post, Tori.
Yes. The rumor, obviously, it's not even a Grok coming is not a rumor. Elon has said it on multiple occasions that Grok is coming to a Tesla. But before we talk about the rumor of it being in the next month, let's talk about what's a Grok. So, a lot of the comments here are people joking around about Gronk. There was even, you know, we typically try to stay away from any of the GIFs because they tend to be this meme competition. But we did have to keep this one in here from Wang, who put a picture of Gronk and said, "I'll have to clean out my back seat to fit this big fella." So Gronkowski, obviously tight end for the Patriots, one of the best tight ends, arguably the best tight end to play in the NFL. But it's not Gronk, not with the N. It's just Grok, G-R-O-K. So what is Grok? Well, XAI is one of Elon's companies. And if you think most people have heard of ChatGPT and what it'll do, it's AI. ChatGPT is AI.
And artificial intelligence.
Exactly.
Not to be confused with actual intelligence.
Sometimes maybe more than others. But Elon owns a company, started an AI company called XAI. And the spokesperson, the front person, the way that they explain it is Grok is your cosmic guide, now accessible on grok.com within iOS and Android. You can explore the universe with AI. So the name of their avatar that is your way to communicate and get XAI to do stuff, the name of that guide is Grok. And in you know, a funny story of people want to know, where did that name even come from? It's confusing. It sounds like Gronk. It's not. So there is a book called Stranger in a Strange Land. And it's a very common book especially for techies. That is an older book that a lot of people have read. And in this book, Grok is the Martian term that means to understand something deeply, intuitively, and with empathy, almost to the point of merging with it. Well, Elon always puts character and meaning behind the way that he names stuff, just in the same way, why is it Ludicrous Speed or Plaid Speed? Because of Spaceballs, the movie. And that was a joke. That was funny to him. He's putting character into the car, which I love. But in this case, in XAI, he's putting character into the name of the AI in a very similar manner by using the name of understanding something completely, intuitively, deeply, with empathy, almost to the point of merging with it, the Martian term from the book Stranger in a Strange Land, and calling it Grok.
Yeah, and so, Tori, just to kind of elaborate for those that may be unfamiliar, most people that own Teslas are pretty tech-savvy, but, you know, one way to think of AI is almost like the next evolution of Google and search engines. You know, Google will scour the web and search results, but, you know, Grok and artificial intelligence, they actually can do that, but then they can also produce outcomes with prompts given. For example, write code for creating a website, or you know, actually, it's like the next step of. I mean, you know, it's going to change colleges, for example. I mean, I can't imagine that writing a paper anymore manually. I don't even know how that's going to be a thing, because you can prompt an AI tool like ChatGPT or Grok to write your paper for you, and they're probably going to do it better than you could have ever done it yourself. But Tori, can you give us an example of, like, how would Grok coming to a Tesla, what would be a prompt, or how would we use that? How would that benefit us?
Yeah. So right now your voice commands in a Tesla are limited to, you know, vehicle commands, essentially things that are set with vehicle settings. Grok would open up the ability for you to have a conversation with your car, essentially. And you could ask it trivia questions. You know, you're on the road and somebody asks a question about, you know, hey, okay, Gronkowski, he had the most completions in the year 2019. And somebody could say, no, he didn't. That was somebody else. And you could say, hey, Grok, and ask it, and it would tell you. But that's only a small illustration. What I think is going to be most impressive about Grok in a Tesla is you could say something to the effect of, you know, hey, take me by Taco Bell in Noonan, Georgia, and then by Starbucks, but go ahead and order a Starbucks for me, my usual order, and I don't want to take Highway 54.
Right.
So like that big, it's going to be integrated in with your Starbucks app. It'll take you to multiple places. It's not so rigid. Tesla's voice commands are really, really good. I'd say that they're more advanced than most other vehicles, in my opinion, but, this would make it just a completely new level of how to be able to communicate with your car and make it easy. Hey, I want to go to Taco Bell, open my app and order the 3 Doritos Locos Tacos. Then I want to go buy Starbucks and I want to get a cappuccino the way I normally order it. And it'll just do it. So it's going to be pretty cool to see where we go in the future. And then just interesting news for those who don't know, just on a side note, so XAI, it's no wonder why Elon named it XAI. He obviously purchased Twitter and renamed it to X. Well, recently, we're in, it's May 5th, and so recently, not too many weeks back, XAI purchased X, or Twitter. And so now Elon no longer himself owns Twitter, and nor do the banks that lent him money own those parts of Twitter. My understanding is that XAI bought it out in its fullness and bought it for his purchase price. So the valuation of X is back up to over $44 billion from what I understand. So interesting news.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you bring a good point that the Grok being integrated with your Tesla would be the voice prompts would be where that, I mean, essentially you would have eventually your own personal assistant sitting in your passenger seat if you were, you know, on a road trip or going to a new town or running errands, and you could basically ask your personal assistant to, you know, handle tasks, and your personal assistant could handle those tasks and assist you in your errands and your road trip, et cetera, through voice prompts. So, and that's one of the neat things about Elon and technology platforms. You know, he leaves so many things open source, and he'll leave it up to us and people in our group to figure out cool ways of using it and things that he's never even thought of. The sky's really the limit at how Grok integrated into the Tesla can bring value.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, let's move on from Grok to our next post. Can someone tell me why it tells me to put my hands on the wheel? I have autonomous driving activated anyway. It says to put my hands on the wheel, and it does it frequently, like every single minute. So I can relate a little bit here, but take us through this post and tell us about some of the comments, Tori.
Well, I like the subject that we called it in the beginning when you were giving the overview of are FSD alerts obnoxious? And my goodness, man, they can be. Yes. My daughter and I, we drive a lot in the car, and we listen to a lot of music, and the darn thing beeping all the time can get so annoying. And so I find myself trying to do things that I know, like in my 2020 Model X, for instance, when I turn it on full self-drive, if I'm holding the wheel and it knows that I'm moving, it doesn't give me that initial really loud, you know, burp, burp, to try to get me to pay attention. Every time I activate FSD, if I don't have my hands on the wheel right after I activate it, it gives me two loud alerts, not the soft, you know, boop, boop, not the soft airplane type of ding that you hear, but the loud alert. And so I've learned that when I activate it, I got to hold the wheel so it knows that I'm moving the wheel. And then after that, I can let go of the wheel and just pay attention. But the reason that it's likely, the reason that it's doing it every minute for this person, I don't know their name. I was looking for it. Eider. It looks like their name is Eider.
Eider CF.
Yeah. So Eider, I would say it's doing that because it's perceiving that you probably are holding a device, because the camera in your cabin is paying attention to what you're holding. And that camera's in 2021 and newer Teslas. If you have older than 2021, you don't have that camera, and it will alert you to wiggle the wheel every once in a while to make sure that you're paying attention that way. But if you have the camera, it'll do it more frequently if it perceives that you're holding your phone, or if it perceives that you're not paying attention. Or maybe you have sunglasses on. If you've got sunglasses on, the camera can't see your eyeballs, and it will alert you more frequently to hold your wheel. And if you're not holding the steering wheel, every minute or so, it's going to alert you and tell you to do that. Or you could have something on your rearview mirror that's obstructing the camera's view. So I did want to pull up, this is a Tesla, this is a Model Y owner's manual, but it's the same for all models here.
While you're doing that, Tori, in a coincidental, Benny typed in an AI, and this is what we're talking about, the power of AI. He says AI, so I'm assuming that he prompted this into Grok or ChatGPT. And it says, you're right to question why your Tesla would keep your hands on the wheel even when autopilot is active. This is a crucial safety feature designed for the following reasons. And this is a book, like I won't even go through it all, but some of the highlights. It autopilot is in assist feature, not fully autonomous driving, despite its name, monitoring driver engagement and readiness. One of the things it says is legal and regulatory compliance. And that is, current regulations in most regions mandate that a human driver remains responsible and in control of the vehicle. And so the hand on the wheel requirement helps Tesla comply with these regulations. So I find mine to be a little obnoxious from time to time. Even when I'm looking at my mirrors or something, it'll bark at me. But some of this is legal and regulatory compliance. But this is a huge document that explains a ton about it.
Yep. So, and I did find this driver attentiveness section, and it says that the cabin camera monitors continued driver attentiveness when autopilot is engaged. This system cannot be disabled. The cabin camera does not require full visibility of the driver's eyes in order to monitor attentiveness. The system is still active. For example, if the driver is wearing sunglasses, it will just pull up this little steering wheel with your hands at, you know, 9 and 3 or 10 and 2. And it says, if the cabin doesn't have clear visibility of the driver's hand and arm locations, the touchscreen periodically displays a message reminding the driver to apply slight force to the steering wheel. And then it'll also, if it detects a handheld device while autopilot is engaged, the touchscreen will display a message reminding you to pay attention and keep your hands on the wheel as well. So something, Rod, you and I were talking about before we went live here was, I bet if you put your smartphone in the storage cubby, right? You put it in storage and it's not sitting in your hands or in your lap, then it won't alert you as much. But if you're holding your phone, even if you're paying attention, if you're holding your phone, it might alert you more to pay attention to the road, to move the steering wheel. And that is based off of this warning right here that we just read.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever tried that, but it did occur to me as I was on a road trip recently, and mine kept barking at me, and it threatened to put me in timeout a couple of times, that it's almost ironic in some ways that this car that drives for me, I have to be feverishly looking at the road, or I'm going to not be in compliance with the powers that be. But yet, if I'm in a vehicle that can't drive for me, I can look at my phone and play with my phone and do all kinds of there's a little bit of a paradox of pain there that's just kind of interesting. And it almost made me wonder, although I hate this idea, would, as it becomes more of a safety issue, we know people driving with their phones is so dangerous. Could that technology get, in my opinion, overly aggressive in terms of regulatory and region compliance? So anyway, kind of an interesting thing.
Yep.
All right. So moving on to the next post, took my buddy to purchase a pre-owned Model S at a non-Tesla dealership. And he was told that it had FSD. When we get there, the first thing I checked was in the software, and it didn't have it in the software. The salesman claimed that it had FSD due to the original window sticker he presented from the initial purchase. And the window sticker does show it. Take us through this. Boy, this is always a interesting post or interesting topic when buying a pre-owned Tesla.
Yeah. So bottom line is that this Model S had full self-drive lifetime on it when it was purchased. That's why it says on the window sticker that it's configured with it. But Tesla runs periodic. They've only done this a couple of times, but they'll run specials for if you're buying a new Tesla and you have another Tesla that has lifetime FSD on it, they'll let you transfer that feature, the purchase of that feature, to a new Tesla when you buy it. And that's what the comments reflect here. And that's what's happened here. If the window sticker shows that it was purchased on the car and it was configured on the car, then it did have it. It doesn't mean it has it now. So again, these comments just showing here, looks like it was originally purchased with the car, Robert says, but most likely it was transferred during a promotion with Tesla to a new car. And that's what all of these comments are saying. So how do you know? How can you check? There's only one way to know for sure. You can't even necessarily call, you can't call Tesla and have them tell you that you will definitely get it when it's transferred. They won't even tell you anything about the car because you're not the owner of the car. So you can't call Tesla and get that information. So the way to know this with 100% assurance is to look on the software screen and look where it says full self-driving capability here. So this is showing the included package. So the it's opposite of what you think. So the subject is, what is the included package? The subject that it's displaying here is the gray down below. And then it's showing you what is included. So if this says autopilot, if this says enhanced autopilot, if it says anything but full self-drive, it doesn't have it. And the fact that it says capability, you go, well, that just means it's capable. Well, it actually doesn't mean that it's only capable. It actually is the included package. FSD is the included package here. And then you go, well, how do you know if it is just purchased on a month to month? Well, it'll say included package auto renews June 5th, 2025. So it'll show that it auto renews on this page as well. Unless it's the installed package for lifetime, then it just shows that it's the included package like this. So this car right here has full self-drive lifetime. It's not the monthly the monthly subscription. Another way that you can tell is if you go into the, if you're buying it from an individual and they have the Tesla app, you can have them send you a screenshot of the included specs. And so I'll show you at the bottom of the Tesla app, there is a button called specs and warranty. And if you include that, it shows you specs and warranty. And this, you really, when you're buying a Tesla, should get a used one, both of these, if you're buying it from an individual. And the warranty shows you when the warranty expires and if it's active. The specs will say, if it says full self-driving supervised like mine does right here, you have that as a lifetime subscription. It's not a monthly subscription. So those are the two ways to tell: the software screen and from the app, going to specs and warranty, and then in specs, it will list it that it is included as a normal, not subscription, but as a feature in the car.
And Tori, one other thing to clarify, when people think of the FSD capability, take us through the hardware. What hardware do you have to have FSD capability, and around what years did we look at that becoming available? Because a lot of people think that any Tesla on the road is, you could just sign up for a subscription and get FSD, but that's not the case, correct?
Yeah, and there's a lot of misunderstanding on this, and that is correct in what you said. Not all Teslas are FSD capable. And the ones that are have hardware 3, and the computer, as you can see on the screen here, the computer is a full self-driving computer. And if the autopilot computer shows that it's HW 2.5, hardware 2.5, then that means that it cannot do full self-drive. It can do enhanced autopilot, it can do autopilot, but it can't do full self-drive. It's not capable for it. And so a lot of people will show their screens and their car will say, you can upgrade to full self-drive for just $1,500. And people go, I thought it was $8,000. And that's the cost of it right now, is $8,000 for full self-drive lifetime subscription. And it is, if you want to buy the lifetime subscription, it is $8,000. That $1,500 upgrade that you're seeing there is because you don't have hardware 3. And you have hardware 1 or 2 or 2.5, and you have to upgrade to at least hardware 3 and your full self-driving computer. And the last time I looked, that was a $1,500 cost. Then you had to get the subscription for full self-drive. So we had a 2018 with EV bids, you know, 2018 P100D Model X that we got to put some miles on and enjoy. It had hardware 2.5, and the autopilot computer was 2.5, and therefore it would only do enhanced autopilot. That's the max that it would do. It would not do full self-drive.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So anytime you're buying a pre-owned Tesla and you're dealing with a legacy dealership, you're going to have to quality control check the trim package and everything yourself, because they just don't have the experience to understand all of the different variances in they don't even know how to transfer the ownership in their defense. So definitely when dealing with a legacy dealership, you got to do your homework. So moving on, the next one, I would love to answer this question. When I first got my Tesla a couple of years ago, the cruise control worked perfectly. You would set it to a speed and it would go there and stay there unless somebody was in front of you slowing down. But now you set it and you accelerate to that point and then it starts slowing down. And so, Tori, take us through some of the comments on this post.
So I want to be clear here on what I believe is Chi or Chai is saying here, is that in the past, even on FSD, on full self-drive, you could set it to drive 60 miles per hour in a 35, and it would do it. And it would do the best it could. Well, what's happened as they're getting closer to being fully autonomous is now they're having to put in more cautionary, you know, it's not okay. We can't be fully autonomous in full self-drive 60 miles per hour in a 25 miles an hour zone, for instance. So you can go in and you can set the car to do a max speed and max offset. So you can set it for 10%, a percentage, or you can set it for a mile per hour relative. Like relative is the percentage, or the exact is the mile per hour. So you could say, I'm good with 10 over the speed limit of wherever I'm driving. And then Tesla will go up to, on full self-drive, it'll go up to 10 miles per hour faster. But if you set it to go 55 in a 45, it might do 47 or 49 or 51, and you can speed up and then it will slow down. You can speed up and it will slow down. And that is frustrating. I get what he's saying here, but it is not cruise control. So Tesla, all Teslas have traffic aware cruise control. If you have FSD activated though, it will not use it. You're not using cruise control. You know, in a lot of models, you can set to where when you have the stalk, you can say one pull is just traffic aware cruise control. And then it will maintain the speed you set because it's not driving in full self-drive. But, and then you can do two tugs of the FSD lever to activate full self-drive. So one tug is cruise control, two tugs is FSD. But what a lot of people are doing who don't have the ability to set it that way on the one pull of the autopilot stalk is cruise control, two pulls is FSD. If you can't do that in your car, what you can do is you can set up two profiles, two user profiles. So I could have Tori as my main profile and FSD is active on it. And then I could set up a new profile called Tori 2. And Tori 2 has FSD inactive. So I'm only set for the basic traffic aware cruise control. And then as I'm driving, I can change my profile as, you know, for my trip. And I can then, if I pull the stalker, if I activate FSD, it won't activate FSD. It'll activate traffic aware cruise control because FSD is turned off on that user profile. And that's what you see with a lot of these comments is the, you know, make sure you set it to one click cruise control and then two clicks for FSD. And then other people, Bob says, and I've not tried this, but I have a feeling that we're going to face the same issue. He says that he uses standard with a 0% variance, meaning it will follow the speed limit. Then he uses his right-hand scroll wheel to set the speed that he wants. So if the speed limit is 55, it would set to 55, and then he bumps it up to 60 or 65, and it goes from there. What I still believe will happen on full self-drive is it will set the max. So you can bump it up to 65, and that is now the max, but it is still going to drive in a manner that it feels is safe for the condition, for the traffic, for your road conditions, weather conditions. And it isn't going to use that as the, here's the exact speed that you have to go, like cruise control does.
Yeah, Sean says, let me guess, you have hardware 3. The word you used is a bit confusing. Do you mean FSD instead of cruise control? I have the same problem with FSD. It worked perfect with 12.5, but after upgrading to 12.6, it won't maintain speed and it always slows down. Some recommended to recalibrate camera but that didn't help either. So there's a lot of comments in here about confusion between cruise control, the cruise control setting, and the FSD setting. So,
and my understanding is that Hardware 4, the newest version of Hardware today, is better. So if you have Hardware 4, Rod, you have Hardware 4 in your Model X, and you might find that it doesn't hold the speed that you set for the max. But for me, in my 2020 Model X performance, it can be really frustrating because it can be a 45 mile per hour road, and I'm telling it to go 55 or up to 55 or even up to 60 to try to get it to be more aggressive. I don't want it to do 60, but I'm just trying to set a higher limit so it'll go faster and it'll drive 46. And I'm like, come on, let's go. And I'm hitting the gas, and then I'm going to let go of the gas. It slows down back to 46 or 47. So I get this question and I understand the frustration, and I'm hoping that they fix it.
Yeah, my FSD does that as well. I have to admit, I have almost no experience with the cruise control because I'm always using auto steer and FSD. I mean, I push the button everywhere I go. And so I don't really use just, you know, I guess there's like three different options: cruise control, auto steer, and FSD. And I'm an auto steer and FSD, but yes, mine does that as well. And I use the scroll wheel like Bob and adjust my speed, but it does seem a little quirky. So to your point, hopefully that's something that they'll get dialed in and better as we go. I'm sure they will. So last but not wrap this thing up, for those who drive in chill mode, does it help with saving the battery on a trip? I normally drive in sport mode, but I'm trying to save on my home electricity bill and charge the car less.
So the quick answer to this question is yes, it doesn't use as much battery usage to drive in chill mode as it does standard sport or ludicrous. So essentially the same amount of depressing the accelerator pedal on chill sends less battery voltage and power to the drive unit. When you have it on sport, it sends more. When you have it on ludicrous, it sends even more. So it is saving power, but I don't believe that you'll really see, I mean, you might see a few dollar difference. It's not going to make a huge difference. And that's one of the comments here that I really appreciated from, let's see if I can find it here. John, he says, Matt. Matt says, I switch from chill to standard rarely. I drive in chill the majority of the time, but I do notice that standard chews through range noticeably faster. Not a lot, but it is enough to notice. And you will notice that it does use less battery, but my thoughts, and I said this actually before I read Robbie's comments here, is I thought, man, you'll save so much more on going through tires than you will on electricity. I think it would be hard to notice on your electric bill of hundreds of dollars, the few dollars that you would save by using chill mode, but it does technically use less electricity, but it is going to have a lot less torque going down to the ground. Therefore, you're going to save a lot of rubber on your tires. And then my last note here that I would tell Sarah is that you need to be sure that you are charging at a time that your electricity provider has the lowest rates. Most power companies have an overnight rate that is non-prime time, that they have lower per kilowatt hour rates. For instance, my power company, we're here in Georgia, and it's not a huge savings, but over time it does add up. At 11 p.m., I go from 13 cents per kilowatt hour down to about 11. And so does that save money? Yes, absolutely. And over time, it will save a little bit of money, especially as you're consistently charging. And then actually, I said last note, I do have one more comment on Sarah. Just to be sure you understand this, Sarah, you should always have your car connected to the charger. And even if you're charging overnight, always connect it so that it can charge overnight every night up to your, ideally that 50 to 80% is where you want to be for most batteries, unless you have LFP battery, then you do want to charge to 100%. Follow what the app says and charge within the time frames that your power company offers a discount, and keep it connected so that you're using the power from the house whenever you're preconditioning your battery for before you leave, instead of using the actual battery itself. And that'll save on usage. It's great for degradation. It's just a best practice.
And of course, the caveat there is we're spoiled, Tori, and I think we assume everyone have chargers at home. And I know there are a lot of people that live in apartments and stuff and downtown areas, and they just use supercharging. So that's the only asterisk to that last comment you made. But yeah, I think you're definitely going to save more on tires. And if you do have a home charger, charging in non-peak hours, then you're probably going to save by being in chill mode. So,
yep.
Well, that wraps up this section of our top five or five of our most interesting posts from this week. And appreciate everybody tuning in, and we'll see you guys on the next episode. Thanks for joining.